So the new album, Party Crasher, in stores now, was released a full 6 years after the previous album, Career Suicide, also in stores. From what I hear, it's been done for a little while. So when you sit on an album that long, do you ever have second thoughts about certain parts, or do you want to go back and do something a little different? Or
all the time. All the time. I mean, because you're sitting on it. Well, there came a point when it was like, okay, it's done, it's done. And we were sitting on the finished mixes and the masters for a little while. So at that point, it's done. But that between time when it's still kind of, you know, being mixed or whatever, it's like, maybe I could go back and, like, do something quick and send them the track or something. But you always have that instinct to do that and want to do that, you know. But you got to realize when to put it down, and I'm really bad at doing that. But, yeah, I'm glad it with the way it came out. I couldn't be happier, you know.
I agree.
Oh, thanks.
All right, so there are elements of the band that everyone knows, like the harmonized vocals and things like that. With this album especially, it seemed to be especially melodic. Was that something you set out to do?
I think it just kind of happened on its own. Really, I don't think we go out shooting to do a certain thing, like be more melodic or something like that. I think the songs just kind of come together how they do. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think we try to plan to do anything like particular. Just kind of do whatever we want to do.
It seems like when you plan to do something specific in terms of like a, like fine tuning like the genre you're trying to, you know, do or whatever, I feel like that comes out a little pretentious or fake. I mean, given like if you're going to do like a concept album or something, like that's, you know, that's cool, that's a different animal. But for bands that go out to do something specific, it seems like that is all what's wrong with music, you know. So yeah, we definitely just, it just happens, I guess, you know. And it's yeah
because the album seemed to have a lot of variety in terms of the sound, which I loved. Career Suicide, it was all fast, all loud, all everything. But I didn't know with this, it seemed like you were trying to expand the sound and try different things.
Yeah definitely just kind of happened that way, you know. Yeah that's a good thing. Yeah.
So I read that there was a song actually called Party Crasher that didn't make the album. Are we going to see the light of day?
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't think it's called Party Crasher anymore. We didn't want to do that name of the song after their album that already came out kind of thing. It's been done before, so we wanted to kind of keep it original, I guess, fresh.
Are there other tracks that have yet to be released from the album, other that didn't make the final cut?
Actually, there is one more that just didn't get wrapped up in time, like just for whatever reasons, you know, it just didn't come completely together. We actually recorded a lot of it, and I think
just
a lot
vocals,
of
right?
Actually just vocals. Yeah. We decided to leave it off. I was hoping you would say it because I totally forgot the name of it.
I forgot the name of it too.
You know, I'll tell at some point throughout this interview, I'll just blurt it out and reference
called,
this question.
It's called Mash the Dial. No, wait.
Mash the Dial? Is that what you said?
I had my solo project name that I was going to put in there, but I can't remember what my solo project name was. It's going to be called Twerker and Hurricane.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look for it on the 7-inch.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Cool.
So is there any special significance to the title, Party Crasher?
Does that symbolize anything besides, well, the obvious?
I think it's more like kind of along the lines of we're still kind of doing what we want to do rather than, you know, stuff's kind of changing, sort of. But we're still kind of sticking to our guns, in a way. So we're kind of showing up, doing what we do, even though we weren't invited to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So a fellow named Dave Klock did the artwork. Where did you find him? And how did he get the inspiration for the artwork? Was it from maybe the first song, Boat Builders?
It definitely had to do with Boat Builders for sure. But I think a lot of his ideas also came from him going on tour with us once, a couple times actually, as like doing our merch and stuff. And I think that definitely had a big role in it, as well as listening to the music on the album and, you know, Boat Builders being like a big crutch in that as well, you know. But he's one of my buddies from Michigan. I'm from Michigan, and I met him. He's played, you know, in bands. We played in bands together, and Yeah, so I've known him for a while, and that's how he kind of came into the mix, you know, a few years ago. But
was he in Alucard with you, or was...
You know, he filled in on a tour playing bass, yeah, yeah. But I had known him before that, though, yeah. Yeah, he's a great dude, awesome dude.
Just to make sure it's not, if it's the same Dave Clock I think I know, he does PR for, I think, Pentimental Music, maybe?
Wow. I feel like that's very possible, but I really don't know. You know what? I bet you ask Trevor about it. I bet he would know.
Yeah, okay. Just want to make sure. Like, I think it's the same exact Dave Clock I know. That's why.
Okay.
All right. So, Mike, you are also, along with guitar, credited with screaming on the album. So I saw in the what track should we look out for that?
It's on a couple. I think I did a couple things on. I think. One is Iceman Left a Trail. The other one was Harry Scarecrow, and I think I may have been on a couple other spots somewhere. I think maybe Devil Don't Know I'm Dead Yet. Maybe I don't know. Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Yeah. I don't know if I was there. I don't know if I was there exactly. Yeah. But those few songs, yeah.
I was eating a sandwich when that happened.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry. So really the songs that you sort of help contribute lyrics to would be a good guideline, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, those two particularly, yeah. The Harry Scarecrow. Oh, thank you very much. Thanks. I'm glad you enjoy them, yeah.
All right. Now, going along with that, it seems like this album was a little more collaborative lyrically than maybe in the past. Was that something that Trevor was like, I'm going to spread the wealth a little bit more?
I think he kind of like encouraged it, you know, like, and you know, I told him that I was interested in the idea of doing it, but I had always been very shy and I didn't really have the confidence to do it because, I mean, I think Trevor's an amazing lyricist, you know, and an amazing writer, so it's kind of intimidating in a way, you know, but for those songs particularly, he coached me through those songs. I'd be upstairs writing lyrics and I'd come downstairs and we'd go over them together and he'd be like, okay, this is really cool. And this, you know, like, what are you trying to say with this? And he kind of like coached me through it, you know, and it was an amazing experience. I learned a lot from it. It makes me want to write lyrics more, you know, and yeah, it was really great.
Uh-oh, side project. All right. Were there some lyrical themes to the album? We noticed, a couple of us noticed some themes like classic rock references, shout-outs to New Bedford.
Yeah.
And my other co-host noticed some, said he heard some apocalyptic themes. I was like, but I don't know about that, but...
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I missed that. I totally missed that.
just some lyrical, just some, no, that's cool.
It's his donut beard. It's throwing me off.
New Bedford, I just rolled in.
That's a good start. No, just asking about lyrical themes throughout the album and named a few, but...
Oh, okay. Well, Trevor didn't... I didn't really have anything to do with the lyrics, so... But I think they're good.
Does that answer the question?
Mike wrote some songs.
As far as lyrical themes, I don't know if, like, we set out to do anything, like, as far as themes. I think, once again, I think it's just one of those things that kind of happened naturally with the process of writing, you know? But, yeah.
I wrote a song in on the first Smack, the third Smack and Isaiah record.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about a girl. Yeah.
The Nirvana song.
She's dead.
About a girl. You wrote that.
Yeah, I wrote.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
All right. So now, with full length evidence that you guys can record an album yourselves, have you been recording other bands too?
Yeah. Trevor, like, he's got the studio that he kind of like took over from his father, you know, owning the studio before, and he's still involved in it like a great deal, you know, and it's awesome to have him be there, you know. But yeah, definitely recording other bands. The band The Holy Mess is actually going to be coming to record a few songs December 3rd through like the 7th, and then we have a show on the 7th in Providence, Rhode Island, where we'll be playing together. But yeah, they're... Yeah, they're great. They're great dudes. We just saw Scott yesterday, actually. He's living out in Jersey. But, yeah. And then another game called, another band called War Games. They're from our neck of the woods, you know, and we just got done recording them. We're in the process of mixing them. But, yeah, just staying busy, and, you know, Trevor will have me, you know, come out, and I'll help out with, you know, the recordings and stuff. So it's definitely a fun thing to do.
Just reminiscing about The Holy Mess because of seeing them a couple years ago at Riot Fest in Philly.
Yeah,
so.
yeah, Yeah, they're a great band. Funny guys, too. Yeah.
They played a basement show, I think it was early this year, and it was...
In Bethlehem, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, it's not really advertised, and where it's located, you need to just ask people around how to get to the location, and... It was kind of funny because, like, I guess they brought their parents with them, but they didn't know how to find a place. So they were, like, walking around asking punk kids, like, how to, like, get to...
The parents of the Holy Mess?
Yeah.
No way, that's so
like,
cool.
How to get to the secret art space, and we're everybody's kind of like, who are these people asking us to get go to a punk show?
Yeah, yeah. That's incredible.
And then when they came in, we were just still, like, surprised, like, who are these people coming to a punk show?
Nice. You're gonna shut it down.
Yeah, but turns out it was their parents.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So, a little over a year ago, we had the pleasure of interviewing Brian outside of Crocodile Rock when you guys opened for Less Than Jake. And, you know, there were certain details he couldn't disclose at the time, but you're officially on No Idea Records.
Yeah.
What tipped the scales in their favor?
Well, they have people actually working there. Yeah, we've been doing the fest for a long time, and we met them over at the fest. And they took us a tour, and they took us on a tour of their, you know, their where they do all their work. What do they call that? Their label.
Yeah.
And we liked what they had going on down there, and a lot of people working, doing different things. And our old label went from like a 10-person crew to one guy selling hot sauce last time.
Yeah.
So it was good to see like a functioning label like happening before our eyes. You know what I mean? And Tony's always been cool at the fest. And It was kind of a no-brainer, and like we liked the bands that came out on that label back in the past and stuff. So
yeah,
it just kind of all fell into place pretty much.
When I got Career Suicide 6 years ago, I had to jump through some hoops to actually find it. But I did. I special ordered it, and it
cool.
Worked out.
Oh, great.
All right. Any music videos planned for the album? Because in the past, you guys have done some amusing ones.
I think we did one, didn't we?
We did two. Yeah. And I think two of them will be out. Sometime. I don't know when, and I'm not going to say which songs, okay. But there are two that have been already made, and one's in the editing process, so we're still getting some stuff back, but there might be more, there might not, I don't know.
But at least two.
At least two will be on the way, yeah.
All right. So this is a question my co-host often likes to ask. Prefer to play live or in the studio?
Live.
Live, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, oh man, I don't know. Ask me one day, it'll be 49% live, you know, 51% recording, and the exact opposite the next day, because recording is such a great process, like creating, you know, something new, and then you get to play it live. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of hard to decide. But I mean, yeah, I tip my hat to the live, though, because that's just... That's why you do it, you know, to perform for the people who want to watch you, you know, so, yeah.
An instant gratification, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Recording is nerve-wracking.
I imagine. All right. So with adult responsibilities starting to set in for some members of the band, do you think the majority of the band's future touring will be sort of short runs like this?
I feel like yes. I mean, it's already kind of been that way, you know, and it's good because, I mean, life happens, you know, so it's, you know, definitely got to make everything work. But at the same time, I know that, you know, everybody still loves what they do, you know, so it's, you got to find the happy medium, I guess, for everything, you know, just like anything in life, everything in moderation, you know, so, yeah.
Okay. After this current tour, anything you can announce, anything we should look out for? Tours, appearances, festivals, whatever?
Nothing official yet. We have some plans, but...
We might go to England.
Yeah. That's planned, well, in the like I said, in the plans, but we... Nothing official yet, like, still being worked out, so... Yeah. Touring next year, though.
All right. Favorite new release from 2013?
Oh, boy. Man. Go first, Nick.
Oh, the Flatliners.
Oh yeah. Oh man, you beat me to that. Can I pick that one too?
Flatliners too.
It really is though. No, because when it came out, Chris had sent it to me. He sent it to all of us as Warhooker, and I remember listening to it after, like, a project, that War Games project, actually, and being in the studio in the control room, like, a few nights in a row, like, just, like, repeating it over and over and listening to it and really punishing, like, Chris about it, like, over, like, you know, the internet, like, oh, God, I love your album, and, like, wrote him, like, 3 or 4 times. But, yeah, that is an incredible album. Absolutely incredible, yeah.
And the one I always end with, you're on a desert island, one album, rest of your life.
Jeez, are you ready for this? Because I've never read.
One album for the rest of your life, Van Halen, 1984.
Ooh, okay. Good. The first CD I actually bought, yeah.
Oh, sick.
I guess I'm going to go with Budos Band 2.
Perfect. Yes.
Okay.
That's a good one. That is a great one. Well, then you can really party on the island, you know?
Party,
it's a different kind of party, but it's, yeah. That's fitting of the island, though. You can, like, drink coconuts and find whatever else, eat fish, and party.
Coconut water, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to get the coconuts open, though.
You climb the tree and, oh, yeah. Yeah, smash them on rocks.
Yeah, that sounds easier than it is, though.
Hey, Tom Hanks figured it out, you know what I mean? If Tom Hanks can figure it out, you can figure it out.
Bands coming together over agreed. Yeah, answers. Nice. All right, well, that's pretty much the interview. We've got a little other...